Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. It is good to have you on board with us again today as we get ready to take a look at things we need to do. That's right, especially when it comes to getting ready to dig anywhere, including our own yards. And we have somebody with us today who can really help talk us through the necessity of calling before we dig. He is none other than Mr. Cliff Meidel. Good to have you in the house with us today. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me. This is great.
I tell you what, I'm excited about the fact that you're here because you can bring this point home for us better than I could, for sure, better than most of us could because of your experience. And we're going to get into that experience a little bit later. But if you could, Cliff, share with us some of the things that have been making life kind of exciting for you over the years.
Yeah, so right now I'm a spokesperson for Georgia 811. And what 811 is, essentially, is if you're doing any type of digging projects around the house, whether you're a contractor or a do-it-yourselfer, because, as you know, everybody wants to go out and do all these projects around the house, especially it's spring. Yes. And so what we're doing now is promoting safe digging awareness through the month of April. And so what we want to do is have homeowners contact 811 before they do any digging projects. And I'll give you an example. For example, if you want to put in a tree, a mailbox, a fence post, or even if you're doing irrigation, it's important to know what type of utilities lie beneath the ground. So by contacting 811, you could either do the telephone call. Mm-hmm. So no matter where you are, if you're in Georgia or South Carolina, just contacting the number, they'll know where your demographics are. And you contact the number 2 business days before you do any digging, and they will contact their local utility members, and essentially someone will come out, locate the area that you're digging, so you basically pre-mark where you're going to plant the tree or where you're going to plant the or put in the mailbox for the fence posts, and you designate that in white. They come out, and they'll go ahead and mark where the underground utilities are. You know, oftentimes we see on the concrete, you know, you can see red paint, yellow paint, blue paint. Well, those all have a specific designation. For example, red is electrical. Stay away from that. Yellow is gas. Blue is water. Orange is telecommunications. So there's a whole bunch of different identities for what type of utilities lie beneath the ground.
So it doesn't matter what kind of utility. If there's a utility in the ground, the people who respond to the 811 call can identify that utility.
Yes, they come out and they will do the locate, and they will tell you that if in your excavation area that you pre-mark in white, if there's any utilities that may be conflicting with your digging. Because what we want to do is make sure that, for example, that everybody goes out there and digs safe and doesn't get injured at the on the second time, also is to make sure that nobody damages underground infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in the United States, it's like spaghetti now. There's so many many miles and miles of underground infrastructure out there. It's important for us to all be a part and be safe digging partners and make that contact before you do any digging projects.
So how about if we want to not plant something, but uproot something, like, for instance, get rid of some azaleas?
Well, that's a great question. So we have to go back and identify, you know, what actually is digging and excavation. And it's anytime you disturb the ground, and that's what an excavation is. So we would encourage you at that time to make that contact to 811, no matter what type of digging projects you're doing. So that way, you know, there may be a gas line, or there may be electrical or telecommunications that may be running in that area. As you know, from time to time, these things migrate underneath the ground. Mm. Heights and levels change. So where you thought you put the tree at one time or the plant at one time, things can change over time. So it's always safe to make that contact before you do any digging.
That is good to know. So are there specific types of equipment that the crew would use when they come out to learn where the utilities are, or are they having to carefully dig themselves to discover where they are?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Well, the locators that are a part of the member utilities, whether it's electrical, gas, or telecommunications, they come out and they have a device that they're able to detect approximately where the location of a utility will be underneath the ground. So, for example, if you do your pre-marking in white and say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put my tree right here, and they will come out, and if there is a yellow line, that means that there's gas. Mm-hmm. If there's a red line, that means that there's electrical, for example, orange telecommunication. And so you can see exactly where you're going to be digging, where that utility may be. And then what we always encourage everybody to do is to dig safe and dig with care, because safety is our number one importance to you, to our public.
So once the professionals have come out and marked the place where the utilities are, Is it a matter of, let's just say if a person does want to put in a tree.
Right.
Of making sure that they dig around the markings that the professionals have put on the ground?
Yes, you dig around those and you dig them with hand tools. You avoid using mechanized equipment. They call it the tolerance zone, which is a specific area of dimension that is around the utilities, and that gets a little bit on the technical side. But what we always want to do is make sure that we're promoting and that everybody knows to use hand tools when you're doing these type of digging projects, because that is the safest mechanism to be able to go about that manner. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if a person decides, well, you know what? This is going to be a real simple project. It's not going to take long. I really don't think I need to call. I'm not going to be digging deep. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do with these flowers or with this tree. I can plant this myself, knock it out, be done with it. If something comes up and they hit something that they shouldn't hit, are there various levels of damage that can be done? Are there various levels of harm that can be done to them?
Oh, of course. And that's a fantastic question. First of all, if you do not make that contact, and by the way, if you're using mechanized equipment, it's the law. But if you're out there digging and you do damage a utility underneath the ground, it's in your wallet. It's your responsibility, and the utility will come to you in order to repair those damages. And also, you know, a lot of things we do, you know, we have very busy lives. We think up these things really quickly and, oh, it's a quick little project. But you'll hear by my story later on that really quick can get you into a lot of trouble and it can ultimately maybe even cost your life if you're not careful. So the thing about it is to be prudent and be safe at all times and have that awareness. And make that contact 2 business days before you do any excavation work around the home.
I think it's pretty good that two business days is enough notice.
Yeah, it's enough notice, and it provides the member utilities to come out there. And by the way, it's a free telephone call. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's a safety issue, right?
Right.
We always want to be accountable and make sure that we're there for our families. Mm-hmm. But they come out and do the markings, and then you know exactly where you're able to dig and where you're able not to dig. Yeah.
So once they come out and they've marked the areas that need to be marked, well, actually, while they're there, does a homeowner, if it's residential, does a homeowner need to be there while they're doing a thing? Or
that's the great thing about it is you pre-mark where you're going to be doing your digging project in white paint, and then you don't even need to be around. They'll come out and they'll do the markings and they'll notify you that there is no conflict, that there's no utilities in the area, or you'll see that there will be actually a utility that is going right through where your excavation is going to be, so you know that it's there. So that's what it's all about, being able to really identify what lies beneath the ground and what the hazards are.
Yeah. So, Cliff, are there times when the recommendation would be after they've come out, surveyed the land, come up with their findings, where they say, hey, look, it's just better not to dig here at all?
Well, there can be those situations, and that's when 811 will have their field representative or somebody be able to, understand, talk to the homeowner and things of that nature. But essentially is the member utilities, the locators come out, do the markings, make sure that all the utilities beneath the ground are marked according to where your digging parameters are, and hoping that you're going to be digging safe. That's what the message is. Yeah.
Yes. Digging safe. Because like you say, family members, and they don't need to be losing someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To save some time.
Yeah, that's the number one importance for Georgia 811 or all of the 811 partners are to make sure that people dig safe. That's number one. And safety is the big primary concern, is to make sure that we're all working safe at all times, mm-hmm. because we have an accountability factor. But then at the same time, also that we don't damage underground infrastructure, because mm-hmm. there is a statistic out there. They say anywhere from 6 to 8 minutes, there's damage to underground infrastructure. So
every 6 to 8 minutes?
Every 6 to 8 minutes,
wow.
Yeah, throughout the entire country. Yep.
Goodness.
Yeah, so that's why it's critical to be able to spread that awareness, because we are, as you know, across the nation, we're in a construction boom. So there's a lot of contractors that are and excavators that are out there digging. And then we as homeowners, you know, especially with a lot of the TV programs that are on television nowadays, it's important to realize that you just don't grab a shovel and start digging. Mm-hmm. It's important to know what utilities lie beneath. Yeah. Ground. Yeah.
So you, unfortunately or fortunately, however you prefer to look at this, have had some firsthand experience with power, with utilities, and this happened some time ago. What was your experience?
Yeah, it's a shocking story.
To say the least.
Yeah, but when I was 20 years old, I was, you know, just like all the kids across the country, you know, and in Georgia, I really wanted to go out there and develop, you know, myself as a young kid. And develop a career. So I got involved in the trades and I went through the apprenticeship program for plumbing. I was 2 years in the process. This was an industrial apprenticeship and I was working out on a construction site. And I had, you know, I was working with one of my mentors, and at that time they said, okay, you know, we've got this project that we're working on, but Cliff, we need you to do a quick 5-minute job. And there's where that quick 5 minutes comes in. And so what ended up happening is I was operating a jackhammer and I hit some power lines that were beneath this concrete. And I hit 3 of the cables with 4,160 volts. So I got this enormous electrical shock. And as the audience out there may know, electricity, you can't see it, but I can guarantee you can feel it. And I remember this enormous jolt, and then lights were out, just like that. I couldn't tell you if I was dead or alive. Mm. And I remember waking up about maybe 16 hours later after my accident, and I had this enormous pain in my chest, and both of my parents were standing there next to my hospital bed wearing these white coats. So I was thinking I was in this dream, right? But one of the things that happened was is that I had this big pain in the chest, and my mother had told me at the time that, you know, I was involved in this electrical accident, and I nearly lost my life, because even household current can put your heart into fibrillation. It can kill you. And with the amount of electricity and the shock that I received, I was very, very, very lucky that the first responders were very close by. They were able to revive me and get me back to life. And, you know, my mom says, well, you're here for a reason. I guess you can't kill a weed, right?
And you were dealing with how many volts?
Each power cable had 4,160 volts. So wow. It was an enormous amount of electricity. Yes. And what happens with electricity is it behaves much differently than, for example, you know, it's very chaotic, so it races through your body, and there were areas of my body that I got burned because I was grounded, but I ended up sliding back into this ditch where this jackhammer was completely energized, and my knees ended up sucking into the jackhammer. And so I sustained exit wounds throughout my body. I had a big hole on both left and right shoulder blades that were blown out. I had a toe that was completely blown through my construction boot. So that can demonstrate really the power of electricity. But most of the damage and most of my battle was what had happened to my knees. I had about a third of the knee compartment that was completely disintegrated from both of my knees. So it became a massive challenge for not only myself, in its unconscious state, but it was always a big battle for my family as well, because we had a huge, huge adversity that we had to overcome.
And so you're saying that for you, part of the damage was done by the electricity, but part of it was done by the jackhammer.
Well, the electricity, the energy that was going through the jackhammer burned my body, because see, electricity, it burns differently. It burns from the inside out. It's kind of like an explosive burn. Or you can get grounding burns from, you know, being grounded on the ground, but it's not a topical burn like, for example, a fire burns from the outside in. So I had a lot. I was burned over 15% of the body, so these big burns on my back and my toes, as I described. But one of the biggest challenges that we had and what the medical staff had at the time was, what were they going to do with my legs? Mm-hmm. So I was initially...
And we're going to hear more about that as soon as we come back.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Meidel. First-hand experience with the power of electricity and what was supposed to be just a quick 5-minute job. How many of you have some quick 5-minute jobs?